Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. On these programs, you will be able to follow our expository study of the authorized King James Version as we read verse by verse through books and occasionally tackle important topics for the purpose of helping Bible believers gain a thorough and accurate understanding of God's Word. We now invite you to join us in our study. Read verses 6 through 8 with me. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we ended last week, and in verse 6, and speaking about the fact that, again, the world's wisdom is foolishness. And God's wisdom is what we should focus on. But the world thinks that God's wisdom is foolishness. And there you have it. The world looks at what we believe and what we study from the Word of God, and they see that as foolishness. But God says that's wisdom, and the world's wisdom is foolishness. And what the world doesn't understand is God's plan. What the world doesn't understand is what we could call the mystery of the kingdom of God. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 4 and look at this. In Jesus, in His ministry, Jesus had a ministry that included being Messiah and revealing Himself to the Jews. But it was more than just revealing Himself, but revealing this plan that He has. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And He said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables." See, there's the kingdom of heaven, which the Jews were well aware of. The kingdom of heaven and the fact that the Son of David was going to rule and reign on this earth, the Jews knew about that. And they expected that when the Messiah came, that's what He was going to do. So when Jesus came and didn't do that, they then rejected Him. The reason was because, number one, they totally did not know the Word of God. And they missed all these prophecies in Isaiah 53 and Psalm 22 and elsewhere that talks about the suffering that the Messiah would perform. All they did was focused in on the kingdom of heaven and this kingdom to come where they would be released from the bondage of the enslavement of foreign powers who had controlled them, whether it's Babylon or Persia or Assyria or even the Egyptian Pharaoh. And then came Greece under Alexander, and then came the Roman invasion and occupation. And they've always been under this foreign rule, and we know that's because they hadn't followed God's word and God was judging them. So they dreamed of this kingdom to come when the Messiah would come and throw off all their enemies and the Messiah would rule. So here comes Jesus, and instead of doing that, He's performing miracles, but He keeps talking about dying. He keeps talking about having to die and be buried and rose again. Tear this temple down, and in 3 days I will raise it again. The Son of Man must be crucified. You know, they just didn't get that. Even His followers didn't get that because they didn't understand the Word of God. And this is the mystery of the kingdom of God. And we want to look at this because it's a sevenfold mystery. This kingdom of God has basically seven different aspects to it that we need to look at. And I want to start in Romans 11. If you turn over to Romans 11, we studied through Romans and discuss this briefly, but in Romans chapter 11 and verse 25, Paul says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So you have this mystery of the blindness of Israel. That Israel, even though Israel is the chosen nation, the chosen race and nation, yet there's this blindness that takes place. And of course that stretches throughout the church age on to the end of the tribulation period. This blindness will remain until Jesus returns and Zechariah says they will look upon Him whom they have pierced. That's when the blindness ends and the veil drops off and they recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Now we also know through the book of Romans that there is a remnant of the Jews who have believed. But it's only a remnant. That means a small part. If you take a quilt and you rip off a corner, that's a remnant. And that's basically what has happened with Israel. Of all Israel, only a small portion for 2,000 years has believed in Jesus and been saved and been a part of the church. But national Israel, the majority, and as a nation and their leadership, you go over there today, they've reinstituted the Sadducees and they're preparing to rebuild the temple. They're a nation occupying a good chunk of the land promised to them. They are recognized in the United Nations, among nations, and yet they're not counted among the nations. They're not allowed to sit on the General Council, Security Council. So there's all these things that are coming together exactly as the Bible says. And this is a mystery, and it was a mystery to the apostles 2,000 years ago and to most Christians today, by the way. Most of your friends and family who I believe they're saved, but they're not matured and they're not understanding the Word, and they don't understand this mystery themselves. And a lot of them will say, oh, that thing going on over in Israel, that's not really a fulfillment of prophecy. And oh, that's just, you know, that's because they're ignorant of this mystery, of this blindness and this restoration in the last days. And I know Martha knows what I'm talking about because she's been reading about it in Ezekiel. And if you go into Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, you'll be educated. God will show you these things, that He is going to restore scattered Israel, and He's done so almost completely. There are just pockets of Jews now that have not gone home. By the way, United States of America and Canada are really the only place where a large amount of Jews yet are to go home. And I believe, this is my personal idea, that when the rapture takes place, the protection of the Jews will be removed. The church, especially evangelical, Bible-believing Christians, love the Jews. And that's why anti-Semitism gets smacked down today every time it rears its head. But you remove the church, what's going to stop that? I don't think anything will. And that's when the rest of the Jews will finally go home, and that'll begin the Great Tribulation period when all the Jews are back in Israel. But that's just a mystery to the world. Now look at 1 Corinthians 15. We'll see the second aspect of this mystery. By the way, if you've never just sat down and read 1 Corinthians 15 from start to finish, slowly and carefully, you ought to. It will just revolutionize your understanding of God's Word and who you are and your future. And it talks about, it begins with the gospel and it ends with the resurrection and the rapture. And by the way, that's where we're going, is at the end of it, 1 Corinthians 15. And look what he says beginning in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible," that's the body you have right now, "shall have put on incorruption," that's the glorified body we're going to receive, "and this mortal," the one right now that's body that's going to die, "shall have put on immortality," that's the body that will never die, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" That's a mystery. Now you say, well, I knew about that. Well, praise the Lord. Then you've matured in your understanding of the Word of God, because most Christians still don't understand this. But the world, it's a mystery. You know, if you read in the Gospels, Jesus had these two factions, two main factions were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You go into the book of Acts, you see the same factions. And even they debated and fought over this. And the Pharisees actually did believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees did not. That's why they're sad, you see. But Jesus, Paul, in this very chapter, says, if Christ be not risen from the dead, then we're dead in our sins and we won't rise from the dead. And we are of all men most miserable. So you would be sad if you didn't believe in the resurrection. So it's not a terrible joke. But anyway, the world is totally blind to this, even though you'll hear them say, oh, they're in a better place now, that sort of thing. But they're just talking kind of the mushy stuff. They don't really believe in this resurrection and rapture. And we always laugh about it. I mean, it's sad, but it's just ridiculous. But you know this Sally Fields? You've seen this commercial she's in where she says, you know, I've got this one life and this one body. Why does she say that? Because she doesn't understand the mystery. You don't have this one life. And you don't have this one body. You've got this one life that you must believe and be saved in order to go to heaven and get the glorified body. But if you reject Jesus Christ, you're still going to live eternally. Just not in heaven. So when someone says, I got this one life and this one body, no, that's not true. The Bible reveals a mystery that you do not just have this one body. That one body is going to be taken off and you're going to put on a glorified body. Even if you go to the place called the lake of fire, you will exist in an eternal state. You will not die. And that's a mystery of the world. Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 5 says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, that's us, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now that's a mouthful, but I hope you understood what he said. He basically said the mystery is how that the Gentiles, without circumcision, without law, by the gospel, would be made fellow heirs and become one body, Jew and Gentile alike. That's the church. So it's the mystery of the body of Christ. And that's a mystery that the world doesn't understand, and sadly a lot of denominations. They still say that baptism, which they call baptism, is sprinkling and pouring babies. They call that baptism. They say that that replaced circumcision, and that's how you enter into a covenant, and that the church has replaced Israel, and we now have this covenant arrangement. And so they totally destroy this mystery of the body of Christ, where Jew and Gentile, apart from works, by faith in the gospel, become a member of that one body. And that's Christianity. Imagine how the cults and the unbelievers have it all messed up. And so that's why we have to be careful to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, turn over to Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27, Paul gives us another mystery. He says, beginning in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. There's that word dispensation again. That's a word you need to learn. It's a big one. It can be a tongue twister, but it's very important. He says, which is given to me for you. Remember in Ephesians he said, for you Gentiles, to fulfill the word of God. Now look at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this, there it is again, mystery among the Gentiles, which is, don't miss this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in you? if you have believed and trusted in the gospel of Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, if you have believed that Jesus died for your sins and paid for your sins, was buried and rose again and conquered sin and death, and you are trusting in that for salvation, at that moment, the Spirit of Christ comes into you. And you now have the Spirit of God in you. If you read the Old Testament, you will find very few people are ever referred to as having the Spirit of God in them. One example of you reading in Exodus, and he talks about those who were responsible for the building of the tabernacle and the vessels and that sort of thing. They said they had the Spirit in them. And there are a handful of others who are said to have the Spirit in them. But in the Old Testament, there are many times where they had the Spirit on them. And as in the case of Saul and others and Samuel, it came on them and then left them. But in the New Testament church, you're born again, the Spirit comes in you and remains. He doesn't just come and go. It's a total mystery because that's not the way it always was. And then there's the mystery, I'm not going to turn to all these, but there's the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 and 8. That's the mystery, that there's a true Christ who has come, but there's a false Christ coming. And this false Christ is going to deceive the whole world into believing there's world peace, and yet there is no peace, the Bible says. That's a mystery, because when it happens, the world will go along with it, and only those who reject the mark of the beast will not go along with that mystery, not be suckered in by this man of lawlessness and son of perdition, as he's called. In 1 Timothy 3:16, I want you to turn there because there's something important you need to make a note of. 1 Timothy 3:16. And in 1 Timothy 3:16, I'll just read it. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. This mystery of godliness, it's not referring, we use that word a lot about people and how they live, and it's, you should live in godly manner and godliness in that way. This is referring to God's work among men. And in God, the mystery of God's work among men begins with the mystery of the incarnation, which is God was manifest in the flesh. Now, we only point this out when we need to, but every new version that's on the market that came from that Vatican text removes this reference and destroys this mystery. And it removes the reference to God being manifest in the flesh, and it just says He was manifest in the flesh, which means nothing. If it's not God manifest in the flesh, there's no mystery to it. And that mystery is that God Himself was in the person of Jesus Christ. God became a man and performed these ministries that are referred to here in verse 16. That's a mystery to the world. And that's why when unsaved people decide to get religious, they always reject this doctrine. The unsaved world, for example, began, Charles Taze Russell was an unsaved man who started the Jehovah's Witnesses and rejected this mystery and taught that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. An unsaved man named Joseph Smith started the Mormon Church and rejected this mystery and taught that Jesus and Satan were celestial brothers and that there's the same nature and everything, and Elohim was the Father and he just happened to choose Jesus over Satan. And on it goes. Pick your poison. When unsaved men get religious, they always reject this mystery. That's one of the signs you're dealing with a false cult and an unsaved person, is when they claim to be Christian or claim to be religious, but they reject this mystery that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Another mystery, and we won't talk about going into detail, is in Revelation 17, and that's the mystery of the whore. You see, there's a true bride of Christ who is a chaste virgin. And this chaste virgin is us. And that's a mystery to the world that we already talked about, this one body. But there's also a mystery that is this whore, a false bride. She claims to be Christian, but she is fornicating with the world. And that is in her manner of worship and in her relationships with false religion. And that today is represented, I believe, at the head of that false whore is the Pope. And he has a false religion. He preaches a false gospel. He tells people to worship idols called saints and Mary. He has a false priesthood. He claims that when his priests speak over the bread and the wine, that it becomes the flesh and blood, and that the people in that church actually cannibalize God and eat his flesh and blood. It is a complete satanic falsehood. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 calls it the cup of devils. That's the mystery. And if you go read that, we don't have time to get into it in depth. But in Revelation 17, John says he wondered at it in amazement. Why? Because it claimed to be of Christ. And yet it's drunk with the blood of the saints. Read Dave Hunt's book, A Woman Rides the Beast, for one example of the documentation of the hundreds of millions who have been killed by the popes and the Roman Church and the whore, if you want to call it that, because Bible-believing Christians would not bow a knee to this whore. We are a part of the body of Christ, the true body. We would not bow a knee to the whore, and therefore they killed our ancestors. And still persecution going on around the world that the news media won't even report on. So there's your sevenfold mystery of the kingdom of God. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians now. And when you see Paul talking about this mystery, and of course, again, my intention is for you to understand your Bible tomorrow and the day after and the day after that. And when you read the Bible and you see Paul referring to this mystery of the kingdom of God, that's what he's talking about, what you just heard. The sevenfold mystery. Now, you get this on tape and listen to it over and over, take notes, whatever you have to do, and get that so that when you read this, you'll understand what he's talking about. And he's saying that this mystery is foolishness to the world. The world doesn't get it. The world doesn't understand it. The world will mock and make fun of it. I was telling folks yesterday that the Christian parody group called Apologetics, they take classic rock music and they put Christian lyrics to it. And Howard Stern spent an entire hour of his program mocking and making fun of those guys. And they had the right attitude. Their attitude was, well, praise God, even though he's mocking us, honored that someone that perverted would find us as his target and spend an hour making fun of them. Because what were they trying to do? They're trying to use music, change the lyrics, and speak to people the truths of God's Word. And they do a pretty good job if you read their lyrics. Some of the music, you have to have the lyrics to understand what they're saying, but hey, I'm not going to knock people who are trying. But that's the kind of thing you and I can expect from the world. Whenever Mike sees somebody on the bus and they say, Jesus saves by clipping coupons, they're just mocking and making fun. But what should we expect? Because they don't understand this mystery. So what can you do when you don't understand something? A lot of times all you can do is mock and make fun. That's all people can do. Let's look again in chapter 2 there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says in verse 8, I want to read that again, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's the reason Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and all those folks joined together to crucify the Lord of glory is because they didn't understand these things that we're talking about. But think about it. Ignorance resulted in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. But ignorance of this mystery has resulted in the rejection of Jesus Christ for the 2,000 years since. So it's not just those who nailed Jesus to the cross, but those who reject the gospel who really are acting upon the same ignorance. They don't understand. And that's why they keep putting Jesus off and living in sin. They don't understand. It's because they won't allow the Lord to teach them. Now look at verse 9. This is one you've heard probably many times in your life. Verse 9 says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you see there, in the natural man, our minds cannot imagine. Our eyes have not seen, of course, Our ears have not really even heard in the natural man what God has in store for us. But to an extent, well, verse 10 starts with the word but. But God hath revealed them unto us. You see, we understand the tribulation. We understand the rapture. We understand the seven seals and the seven trumpets, the seven bowls, the bodily return of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Jesus Christ established, the 1,000-year reign. We can understand these things. The new Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth, all those things. If you don't understand that today, listen to me. You can. If you are a child of God, you have His Spirit, you have His Word, you can understand these things. And we want to encourage you to do so. We are guaranteed we can understand it. Look at verse 11. Why? For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, I can't read Mike's mind, but Mike knows Mike, right? Well, even so, the verse goes on, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. I don't know the things of God because I'm smart. I only know the things of God because His Spirit is in me. And so God's Spirit in you opens your eyes to these things. Listen, you may think you're not real smart. Some of us are well aware of the fact that we're not real smart. But you need to understand something. You may not understand everything, but you're understanding some things, and those some things are things that the unsaved world can't understand at all. So thank God for what understanding you are receiving, and then pray for greater understanding. And I believe God gives us what we can when we can. That's why whenever I read something and He totally seems to blind my eyes to it, and then I go back later, and as, again, I'm picking on Martha all morning, but she came over to our house yesterday and mentioned that she's reading in Ezekiel about how He makes the souls to fly in Ezekiel. And I had never noticed that until the last time I was reading Ezekiel. And I've been through Ezekiel a few times, and that jumps out at me. Why? For whatever reason, God had it reserved for a later date. And then when I read through it, I had understood enough of Ezekiel that when I went back and read it, it jumped out of me. And it goes on to explain, look at verse 12. Now we, that's believers, have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now this is a key verse. I want you to really pay attention to this and highlight it if you got a highlighter. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When you're talking to an unsaved person, they say, I don't understand this. I don't get you Christians. I don't understand what you're saying. It's because they don't have the Spirit of God. Verse 14 says they can't understand. That's why we don't get in debates with them about these things. What we need to do is emphasize the fact they're sinners and they need to be saved. Emphasize the fact that God wants to save them, but without Christ, they not only can't understand these things, but they don't have heaven in their future, and they have no hope. We need to emphasize those very basic, fundamental things. And then once they become a believer, then we can begin to open up the Bible with them and discuss these other things. I've told many people, they get hung up on these things. I said, listen, you need to put that stuff off and stop worrying about it and get this thing down about the gospel of Jesus Christ and whether or not you are fully, totally trusting in what Jesus has done for you to save you. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085.